May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 917. Cease, O believer, cease to mourn. Return unto thy rest, return. Why should thy sorrow swell? Though deep distress thy steps attend, thy warfare shall in triumph end. With thee it shall go well. Hymn 917. Our reading from God's holy word is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasea. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colour, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made towards shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and now help his servant to pray.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, we do need thee now to draw near and to abide with us through this service and through the remainder of our lives here below. Oh, as we gather, we do pray that we may be under the sweet influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, we pray thou wilt shut the world out and Satan, Lord, keep him from our hearts and keep him from the doors of the sanctuary. And may we be like dear John of old and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and that thy Spirit, dear Lord, may rule our spirit. We may have the mind and the Spirit of Christ. We may be amongst those humble seekers of thy faith, Knowest, O Lord, how we have each gathered. It is toward evening and the day is far spent. Oh, we pray thou would abide with us. And oh, that we may have that real longing in our hearts to hear thy voice, that thou wilt speak to our souls. We would pray with David of old when he said, "Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." Oh, do empty us of ourselves, Lord, and fill us with thyself. Oh, we do seek for grace to humbly fall at thy feet. We may ever be as nothing, and a precious Jesus, the one thing that is needful. Lord, do save us from our deceitful heart. Do save us from this bewitching world which has to death 10,000 hurled. And oh, do save us from our many, many sins. And we need thee to grant us that heart to truly weep and mourn over our sin before thee. To confess our sins, Lord, for thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh, we pray for that real heart confession. We may say with one of old, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, we do need thee to grant us, Lord, that true repenting heart and a heart to plead for mercy, a heart to plead to be washed in that precious blood of the dear Redeemer. May we know its sweet cleansing power. For thou hast said, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And O Lord, how we need it. Oh, that we may have that real fervent longing to know thee more and more. And have that sweet assurance that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us. Oh, we pray that thou wilt appear for thy dear people. Thou knowest each saint's peculiar case, Lord. There may be those that are walking through peculiar and strange things. They wonder where the scene will end. And oh, that thou wouldst appear, Lord, and grant a deliverance. May thy dear people be brought out of the trials, the difficulties, the troubles of the journey into a wealthy place in their souls. Thou hast said in thy word, we went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. And oh, may it be with each of our souls, that we may know within that real prosperity, that real blessing. And may our fervent cry be, give me Christ, or else I die. Do favour us, dear Lord, to know more and more of thy preciousness, thy suitability, suited to every sinner's case. And may those with heavy burdens, Lord, be helped to cast them upon thee. For thou hast said, I will all thy burdens bear, I will all thy needs supply. And O Lord, do remember those that feel to be plagued by unbelief, tossed around, Lord. Knowest the need of thee to give us that living faith to believe, Lord. Oh, do remove from us all our unbelief. Grant us that faith to believe even to the saving of our souls. And O Lord, do call us by thy grace if thou hast not already. May we be amongst those that are truly born of God. Oh, may we never be left to settle, Lord, just a form and husk of religion. May we be truly quickened by thy Spirit and live a life of prayer and faith. And oh, that thou wouldst strengthen thy that faith thou dost give to thy children, that we may be strong in faith, Lord, giving God the glory. Do help us, dear Lord, to look to thee for help continually. And knowest how poor and helpless we are, and how we need that help from heaven each day and each hour. For without thee we can do nothing. Oh, do come then and suit thyself to every sinner's case. May those, Lord, that long for a confirming word, have those exercises, those concerns confirm, Lord, and how we need thee to confirm thy sweet promises to us, that we may know those heavenly confirmations. And O Lord, may it please thee to give us grace to endure to the end, to hold on our way. Who make us steadfast and unmovable, and oh, that we may ever be leaning hard upon thee. Who bless the dear children, and bless that which has been attended to in the Sabbath school, and may each of the dear young ones be brought to know thee in early days, whom to know is life eternal. May they be kept from this world and all its snares and attractions. And oh, do raise up, Lord, from among them those that shall be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. And may the prayers of the dear parents be heard and answered. And may there be a real following on to know the Lord. And we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt guide and direct the dear young people and help them to look to thee in every time of need, and to cast all their concerns and burdens at thy dear feet. For thou hast promised to manage all by the way and to the end. And remember those, Lord, that in middle age, in the many afflictions and troubles and trials they have to walk through, the path of tribulation, who help them, Lord, and give them all needed grace, thy upholding hand, and may they see thy goodness passing before them in the way. Who remember those, Lord, that are in the evening time of life. May they prove thy sweet promise, that at evening time it shall be light. And, O Lord, do grant those sweet assurances that it is well with them, and well with us each while life endures, and well when called to die. And may we be prepared, Lord, and ready, waiting for thy coming. For thou hast said that they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. Oh, may we be amongst those that shall be eternally shut in with thee. And, O Lord, may it please thee to bless the church here and congregation. We pray that thou wilt awaken many sinners round in this village, yet to come and fill the place. There may be those, Lord, yet born again. May those Bibles that have been taken, Lord, over the months, Lord, be used of thee, that many may seek earnestly thy face. Lord, we pray for thee to work, and may this house of prayer be the birthplace of many. For thou hast said of Zion, it shall be said that this man and that man was born there. O Lord, we pray that we might each have that real religion that thou art the author of and the finisher of. We do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt constrain others to follow thee. May there be yet again a moving of the waters. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And may there be those made willing to cleave to thy people here, as Ruth clave to thee, to dear Naomi and the church of the living God. And, O Lord, we pray for Zion that thou wilt yet work, Lord, and thou wilt make all the crooked things straight and rough places plain. And may we yet see thy hand, and that there may be a gracious revival of real vital things, and many brought to follow in thy steps and thy commandments. And we would pray for thy servants, thou would graciously anoint them to declare the whole counsel of God, whether men hear or whether they forbear. And oh, may it please thee to crown thy gospel with success, to appear, Lord, and hear the prayers that are put up for this guilty nation. And, oh, that thou hast opened the blind eyes of our leaders and unstopped their deaf ears. And bring them to seek thy appearing in this plague upon the land. And may it be a voice to many, Lord. And, oh, that there may be those to brought to think and tremble, for death is now upon the road. And, oh, we pray for all thy persecuted people throughout the earth, that thou would appear, Lord, and command deliverance for them. And those, Lord, that are in famine, and many that are oppressed and in very low places, oh, do appear, Lord, and make bare thine arm. Do hear the silent petitions of each of thy dear people. Do come, Lord, and help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies. We would not let them lie forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. And we pray, dear Lord, for that real heart of thanksgiving. We may love and praise thee more. You help the deacons and bless them and bless the hymns they give out. And may we know the realities of what are couched in those sacred hymns. Do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. And oh, may we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Forgive what we've uttered amiss and all our many, many sins. Do make up, dear Lord, where we so fail. Any that we may forget or leave it, oh, do remember them. And oh, Lord, do come and help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask these poor breathings in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 687. Ye broken hearts all, who cry out unclean, and taste of the gall of indwelling sin, lamenting it truly, and loathing it too, and seeking help duly, as sinners must do, the Lord whom ye seek is nigh to your call, attends when you speak, nor lets a word fall. Your sorrow and sighing are felt in his breast. He pities your crying and will give you rest. Hymn 687.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. And four words in verse 5. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, and the four words in verse 5, and in much assurance. The first epistle of the Thessalonians, chapter 1, and I'll read the whole verse. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. These four words have been much upon my spirit since yesterday, and I trust they are the message of heaven for some poor seeking soul at this evening hour. The dear Apostle Paul was wonderfully used to declare the whole gospel of the dear Lord Jesus to the churches, both in Thessalonica, at Rome and Corinth, and Philippi and Colossae, and we could name them all. But here, he was wonderfully favoured to feel and to know in the heart of those that he wrote to that the gospel didn't just come to them in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And if you and I are born of the Holy Spirit, he has given us life in our souls, we shall be brought to love the glorious gospel of the dear Saviour. It speaks of such love the dear Redeemer showed in coming into this earth and suffering, bleeding, dying for his dear bride, his church. And there were those in Thessalonica that the apostle had the witness in his own heart, and too it was manifested in the lives and experience of those in Thessalonica that they loved this glorious gospel, because in it was liberty. And it was peace and joy. They were not under the condemnation of the law any longer. The gospel was a joyful sound to them. Think of what the hymn writer said. Hark how the gospel's joyful sound. And oh, what a joyful sound it is to a poor, needy sinner. But then he speaks how that gospel was not just in word. You know, there are many professors of religion like there were in the apostles' day. There were the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees and others that knew the word and knew the gospel in the letter, but knew it not in power. But here there were those few in the church at Thessalonica that not only knew it in word but in power and in the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost had so applied the word to them. But it is on these four words that one wants to base a few remarks as help this evening. there are, of course, those that immediately say, well, you shouldn't take it out of context. I remember talking to Mr. Ramsbottom about it on one occasion, and, you know, dear Mr. Clement Wood used to often take a few words as his text and preach from them. And dear Mr. Ramsbottom said to me, so often it's those few words the Lord gives his servants to take that the Holy Spirit so applies to them that hear the word. And do we not need, let me come low as we begin this evening, the Lord to give us sweet assurance. He says here, in much assurance. Well, is it your prayer and mine continually? The Lord would assure us that we are his, that he would assure us that he has begun his work in us, that he would assure us that we're in that narrow way. I love that couplet in the hymn, you know, the dear hymn writers, and so often they seem to speak the real feelings and longings and desires of the hearts of God's dear children. And what is it? Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness to my heart that I am born of God. And you know, really, we shouldn't rest until we have that sweet assurance. You know, it'll be the cry of your poor heart if you are really exercising real things and concerning your own soul. The Lord would come and assure you that you're one of his dear children. I love the hymn writer's language. Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. And there may be one here tonight. Your prayer right through the week has been, Lord, do come and assure me that I am thine and that thou art mine. And what a sacred thing when the Lord does, isn't it? And he gives us that much assurance, and only he can grant it. But we are told in Paul's letters to the Hebrews, and two occasions, not just as he says here to the Thessalonican church, of much assurance, but in writing to the Hebrews, he speaks of full assurance of faith. It's something that the child of God longs for, that full assurance of faith. And of course, the Lord was to grant it to the apostle. He could speak it from experience. And he says here, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And then too, earlier in writing to the Hebrews, he speaks too of the great need of that assurance from heaven, and may the Lord grant it to us each. Now, what do we need assuring of? Well, let us remember the apostle himself. You look through the Acts of the Apostles, you will find him continually going back, and there's a number of occasions where he was brought before rulers and before kings, and before King Agrippa and those nobles, and to others' times, where he goes back to that Damascus road, and he was never to forget that, you know, where the Lord turned his feet from serving Satan to serve the Lord. And he tells us in chapter 22 of the experience, and he relates it to those he's brought before. And he says, "And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up." You know, the Lord had brought him under such deep conviction of sin and brought him so deeply under God's holy law that he felt condemned on every side. He couldn't assure himself. No man could assure him. But the Lord was to send Ananias as God's messenger with a beautiful promise, a word of heavenly assurance to this dear man trembling under the condemnation. And the Lord was to speak a fourfold promise to him of assurance. And may he speak it to each of us. It's a word, you know, that's very precious to many of God's dear children. And we read this. "And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen me." Is it your great concern tonight the Lord would assure you that he has chosen you, that you're his? What does the hymn writer say? "Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee." Oh, to be assured that he has chosen us. What does the poet say too? "Till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me." And if he's chosen you, poor soul, what a word of assurance that'll be. It'll give you much assurance. "I have chosen thee." I think of a dear old godly lady. You know, she was in such distress in her early days about her soul standing before a holy God. And the Lord laid her low in ever such deep affliction. And she really was faced with the solemn issues of death and eternity before her. And she was so concerned that she was among the Lord's dear children. What does the hymn writer say? "Till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me." And you won't but arrest poor soul till he does. And this dear lady, she couldn't rest. But what did the Lord do? He was pleased to whisper these words from heaven into her soul. "I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Now you see, the Lord brought her into that furnace of affliction to reveal himself to her, to assure that he had chosen. And you know, that dear soul was like a bird let out of a cage, absolutely free. And oh, may the Lord whisper like he did to dear Paul here, so as he was then, "The God of our fathers has chosen." You see, he was well acquainted with the law and or the Old Testament. He could look back to those godly fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And here he has the same God that they had claiming him as one of his chosen. "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee." go back to what we looked at this morning, it's personal, you see. Each one of us have personally got to come to the hour of death. We've got to come to the hour when we shall have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be thee and no other. You, me. Have we got that much assurance that he has chosen us? Well, the dear Lord was pleased to grant it to dear Paul. And then the second thing was this, that thou shouldest know his will. Not your will, not mine, but his will. And his will may be that you got to walk with his dear children in the paths of affliction like Moses had to. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ of far greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, that thou shouldest know his will. And how sweet it is when he unfolds his will to us. And he's a sovereign how he does it. Unfolds his will. What the will of the Lord is for you, you young ones, may be concerning your future pathway, your life. Unfold his will. We closely looked a little at it this morning, didn't we? Thy will be done. And here the will of God was not that he should persecute the church of God like he'd done in unregeneracy and kick against the Lord, but now the Lord's will was that he should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to poor, vile sinners. This was the will of God. And then the third part of the blessing was this. And see that just one. Now, who was he speaking of, Ananias, here? This just one. He was none other than the dear Lord Jesus himself. And to see this just one. And if ever a poor sinner had a beautiful view of the dear Lord Jesus, it was the Apostle Paul. Why did he so preach Christ like he did to poor, needy sinners? It was because the Lord had revealed himself to him. He had seen this just one. He'd had a glimpse of the Saviour at Calvary, suffering in his room, place, and stead. He knew what it was to have heavenly dealings with the dear Redeemer. He'd seen this just one. You know, sometimes the Lord will bring you into affliction and he'll give you a glimpse of his sweet face. And oh, what assurance it is to your poor heart. The hymn writer said, I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood. And oh, if we have but a little glimpse of him suffering, bleeding, dying for our poor soul, what'll be the effect of it? It'll melt the hardest part of your poor heart and mine. The hymn writer said, had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon. And then he said that thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Oh, poor soul, do you know what it is for the Lord to speak? Well, let me come low. Do you desire it? We mention in prayer, dear David's longing. What did he pray? Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. He feared the silence of his God, longing for the Lord to speak. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we? Speak and let thy servants hear. And oh, what a blessed thing when we hear his voice. Jesus said, didn't he, my sheep hear my voice? Do you know what it is to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? What, and we come low, do you desire to hear it? Lord, do speak. Don't leave me to perish that the world and the ungodly do, that know not thy voice. And you see, the Lord's a sovereign, and we could spend much time on it, how he speaks to his dear people. Sometimes he speaks through his holy word. You go to the word of God, and there it is. Write what your soul needs. Open the word, and there it is, with power and the unction of the Spirit. Or it may be through the ministry of the word, through his servants. Maybe just the text, and it so comes with power into your poor soul. Or it may be he speak audibly from heaven to you. We know in these gospel days the Lord does not speak so much orderly, audibly, like he did to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They had not the full gospel, but they had living contact with heaven. Oh, they did. That thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. And you know there's no mouth like the mouth of the dear Redeemer. The spouse in the Song of Solomon, what did she say? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And his mouth is most sweet. And you see those kisses. He kisses the sins away of his dear people. He kisses them because he loves them. A kiss of his pardoning love. He kisses them a word of an assurance. It's most sweet. Well, the spouse knew it in the Song of Solomon. He goes further, does Ananias, for thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. But then, to those of you, and I just name it in passing, that maybe exercise concern in following the Lord in his sacred ordinances, in his steps. You know, you need an assuring word to venture. We know there are times where the poor sinner has to venture by faith. I remember I had a dear lady at Ashwell many years ago now, back in 1974, and one Tuesday night she was so full of the love of Christ, she said, I feel I must now venture. And she said, it's only a venture. You know, the old preachers used to say that venturing faith was the strongest faith, and she ventured. How did she venture? Upon the Lord, upon what he had done for her. Well, with dear Saul, poor as he was to be later called, he tells us here this beautiful word. It's a very precious word. Back in May, when I preached online at home, I preach really on that beautiful word, arise, and the wonderful things that came out of it, I still stand amazed at. You know, and I mentioned this word, and there was a dear soul listening in on it, and the Lord spoke it right into her soul of sweet assurance. She got to venture. And it's this. And now, not tomorrow, not next week, and now, the time had come, you see, with the dear apostle, the Lord speaking, and now, why tarriest thou? And you see, she was so exercised in it, the Lord so commanded her, and now, why tarriest thou? You won't get any better, poor soul. If anything, we grow worse, don't we? And now why tarries there? What does the hymn writer say? All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Why tarries there? What a question. You'll say, oh, but it's my sin. It's having to speak to the Lord's people. It's the great burden of my heart. Have I got to venture now? And now, why tarries there? May the Lord whisper this as he did on that occasion back in May. Now, why tarriest thou? Arise. It was a clear command, you see. A word of assurance. He brought back, as I sat in the vestry thinking of this, to one's own heart. And I was so exercised back in 1963 concerning the sacred step of baptism. And I went up that particular Lord's Day. It was the first Lord's Day in August. Lord, do come and settle the matter. Don't let me go on like this, wavering here and there. Do give me that assurance that the exercise is of the Lord and that thou art in it. And that's how I went up to the house of God. And it was between me and the Lord. I hadn't told a soul. And the dear servant of God, he's now in heaven, he preached from these words. In the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And may the Holy Spirit whisper them to your poor heart and to mine. It was this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. That was his text. Gladly received his word. The Lord had so showed me that I'd received the words of heaven in my soul. And you know, when he read the text, I knew what I got to do. And the hymn writer said, let not conscience make you linger, or fitness fondly dream, or the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis the Spirit's rising beam. And you know, all I could do was venture. And we read in Acts chapter 2, don't we? And the Lord added to the church 3,000 souls. What a day it must have been, wasn't it? Those the Lord had sweetly assured that their exercise was of God. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, a blessed sacred word, you know, for a venturing sinner. You know, really, just to tarry a moment on it, when one is taken under that water, they are immersed in it, and do we not turn? I speak it with profound reverence. To need to be immersed in that precious blood of Jesus, because it cleanseth the poor sinner of all sin. Oh, it does. And oh, to go into that sacred water and know, we know in the water there's no forgiveness, there's no, in and of itself, no mercy. But, you know, it's honourable to obedience. And there have been many favoured to go through it and come out, knowing their pardon signed, their peace procured. And in much assurance. You may have wondered why we read together, and I'll just be brief, that 27th chapter. It seemed to, I hadn't intended reading it this evening, but it came to me just before we had tea this evening, so powerfully, thinking of this text. You think, poor soul, tonight of dear Paul in that ship with all those 276 prisoners. What he must have felt. They had, well, no doubt many of them were violent criminals. He was there because he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Lord had permitted it. That he must go there and be in that ship, and in all the tempests they were to go through. But what so came to me, thinking of this text, of the much assurance. Look at the assurance the Lord gave to the apostle in that ship. Not only would his own life be spared and saved, but all those that were in it. And not a hair would fall from them. Look at the faith in the dear man. But look at what the Lord spoke to him. And really it dovetails in what we tried to look at or hint at this morning. And we read this. And this is what came so sweetly and powerfully to one's heart. To bring before you. Because he says here, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. They would all get to shore, but the ship would be lost. And then he says this, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. Who was that blessed angel? None other than the dear Lord Jesus stood by him in that ship. Go back to this morning, you see. Think of the Master is come. And look where the Lord came to him. In that ship, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Beautiful words, aren't they? Think in your heart and mine. May we have that assurance which he had here and the Lord gave it to him. Whose I am. He was not his own. Ye are not your own. You are bought with a price. Whose I am and whom I serve. Who are you serving tonight? The Lord Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. There are many that try to, you know, and our old flesh left to itself would serve Satan. Serve ourselves when we should be serving the Lord. With all our heart and with all our soul, as the Lord spoke to the children of Israel. Whose I am. Oh, may the Lord sweetly come tonight and give you that sweet assurance. Whose I am and whom I serve. And then the Lord spoke this beautiful word of assurance to him. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know, they were all laid in the apostles' heart to pray for them that they'd all get to land. They were laid upon him by the Lord. And the Lord wonderfully fulfilled it, didn't he? Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. just what the Lord told him he believed the Lord would bring it to fruition. It may be you have a promise tonight the Lord has given you. And you may say, oh, but there are times it seems dead and buried. But think of this beautiful word. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And what the Lord tells you, poor soul, he will bring to fruition in his time, in his way. May not be how you may think it will come. But in his way. And you look how wonderfully, as we read in the lesson this evening, how beautifully he delivered them all. They all got to land. Some swam. Some on broken pieces of the ship. Some on boards. But they all got there. But they didn't have much to get there on, did they? But they all landed. We don't know of their eternal standing. We're not told. But they all got safe to land. Oh, to have this much assurance. Now, just to be brief with the time, but may the Lord come and sweetly assure your poor heart, though it seems plagued by sin, plagued by unbelief, plagued with many doubts, the Lord sweetly assure you that he's put all your sins away. Oh, may the Lord whisper those precious words, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions from before me. And you know, when the Lord speaks such a word as that, what a sweet assurance it is, isn't it? When he whispers, "O thy sins that are many." You may say, oh, but they're stacked up, Lord. They're so great like mountains that are many, are all forgiven. And you know when the Lord grants that. I remember walking, and I've told you before, on a field in Church Sutton in Kent, you know, and as I walked up that field and the Lord removed all the sin, the plague. The mountains just flowed down at his presence. Oh, to have that much assurance. And whatever may be before you and before me tonight, poor soul, may the Lord come and sweetly assure us. I had to take a funeral at home. It's my 100th funeral the other week, and a dear man attended one of our other chapels, and he's buried in our chapel yard. But, you know, his widow said to me, she said, you know, he's never forgot when you preached on the great need of being assured. And in his last affliction, he said, and continually pleaded with the Lord would assure him that he was his. He couldn't rest until the Lord did. Let me just name one or two further characters before I leave it. It's quite remarkable, our beloved friend in the vestry named a text that had been so much on my mind to speak this evening concerning a word of assurance. And it really confirmed it, really, and so I will name it. You know, when I first joined the church in 1963, you know, I was only 21, and the mountains that were before me of public prayer, walking out the profession, and that I'd seek to put on the Lord in an open profession, you know, it seemed so great, and sitting at the Lord's table, it so exercised my heart. The dear servant of God that received me into the church gave me that beautiful word, what the Lord gave to Joshua. It fell from the lips of Moses. It was God's message. And may there be one here tonight that needs it. It's a word of sweet assurance, and I've never forgot it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You know, that's a comprehensive promise the Lord gave to Joshua. You think of all that was before him, leading the children of Israel at the death of Moses. How could he do it, a young man? The Lord was going to be with him, and he was going before him. And you see, when the Lord goes before his dear people, he knows exactly what they've got to walk in, like the shepherd does when he goes before the sheep. He knows what they're going to walk in, what they're going to feed upon, because he's going before them. And may the Lord, as we venture to name it this evening, whatever may be before you, the Holy Spirit whisper that beautiful word. Joshua was going to need it, and you will need it, as I needed it, and I still need it after 1963. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. It's a comprehensive promise. Those of you that are walking may be in trouble of soul or in the pathway and in providence or whatever it may be in, you will need the Lord to go before you in it and make the crooked things straight, the rough places plain, the darkness light. And he alone can. And as he goes before you, that's what he will do. He's promised in his word. When thou walkest through the fire. What did the Lord say in the hymn? Israel, passing through the fire. I am with thee, Israel, passing, walking through the fire. And when you come into those fires, into the deep waters, poor soul, if he goes before you, it'll be well, like he did the children of Israel at the Red Sea. He divided the sea. He was to destroy Pharaoh and his house. And the Lord was to give that sweet word of assurance to the children of Israel. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. You know, some beautiful words of assurance in God's holy word. Oh, beautiful promises of assurance. You think of that word, and then I must leave it because of the time in Isaiah 41, where the Lord speaks in that 10th verse. That beautiful word, and only he can whisper it in your poor soul and mine this evening. And when he does, it will melt your poor heart. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. They're words of heavenly assurance, you see, to a poor, needy sinner. And they're needed not only in their early days, but they're needed right the way through their life. Those continual assurances from heaven. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, there's appointed time, you see. They shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Well, I shall have to leave it for your prayerful meditation. I've only scratched around the surface of this word, and in much assurance. And may, if nothing this evening, it stir us each up, that we may have that sweet assurance that it is well. Yesterday I did mention those words and we read it. What the dear Shunammite woman had when her son lay dead. Think of what Elisha said to Gehazi, go and say to her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thine husband? Is it well with the child? And what did she say? A word of heavenly assurance. It is well. May it be so with us each. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening. Mr. Matthew Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, we expect Mr. Gerald Buss, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 948. What is this world to me? This world is not my home, a scene of pain, of grief and woe. When will my Saviour come? Hymn 948.
Do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this time. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the bind. Do take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.